because he had done too much of this practice, he believes. And, you know, number one, you can say, well, okay, those are the dense aspects of body, pus and shit and bile and phlegm, and, you know, the Buddhas go through this. But that was 2,500 years ago. So maybe a hardcore presentation like that is not necessary today. I think it isn't. However, it is an interesting point that this piece of meat, this body, is not us. However, this body is also an energy manifestation and not meat at all. You know, meat is not meat. So it's very subtle. All natural function, you know, there's nature and function. For Ra and in sixth density, they say our purpose is our nature, or their purpose in teaching is to share their nature. Likewise, in understanding anything, its function and its nature are different but same. So the function of the body, the natural functions of the body, right? Eating, sleeping, sexuality, walking, standing, have all aspects from dense to fine, right? So the natural function, you know, singing choral hymns is a little bit finer than shitting. But on the other hand, the nature of body is all aspects, or all the body is itself both dense and fine and subtle. It's all. So yes, of course we should take care of it. It's not about not taking care of it. In Buddhism, you see, it's different. Buddhism is seeking radical detachment of all that is not the self, which includes even consciousness. So the Buddha said, even consciousness is born of ignorance. Even consciousness falls away as a considered objective reality at the highest levels of awareness. And that's conscious contact. So, you know, we're talking about different levels of training and different goals in a sense. So, but the body then actually has all these different aspects and can be understood in all these ways. And to talk about the spirit, what is the spirit? The spirit itself is like a magnet. And the magnet reaches down. And so the function of spirit, again, the nature of spirit is like a magnet, and the function is the bridging that a magnet may do, which is to integrate the upreaching yearning of mind-body energy, which is, you know, like a tree or a plant. The tree or the plant seeks the sun, and the natural movement of kundalini energy from root chakra actually going from, you know, bottom to top, coming up, upreaching. And that's that upward spiraling light, that ascendancy, that movement, is considered the natural movement of energy. And then there's the downpouring and in-streaming, pouring down and in-streaming into the centers of intelligent infinity or infinite intelligence. That integration is done by the spirit field. So the spirit field, like the head, is the joining point between a unified body-mind, you know, and the cosmic infinitude, you know, the plenum of all. Now, that's the physical view, right? That's just the physical vision of the physical analogy. It's not exactly like that. So physically, we say, okay, there's this oblong, egg-shaped body-mind, capped by a small little head, in reference to the body, sitting in the plenum of all being or all life, all energy, in the field. The purpose of that head is as a bridge, synthesizer, magnet joining, the incoming energy coming down from higher self, coming in from all life, all energy field, into the seven centers, actually, but particularly into the root chakra, to blend that incoming downpouring with the natural ascendancy, seeking movement, yearning, beingness of mind-body development. So, this is pretty heavy material. And you know, there is really nobody teaching this that I've never heard anybody teach this. Anybody. And I've had for a little while at Bring Forth and on my site, which doesn't, I don't get very many hits. Bring Forth has a lot, but my section or the section or the related to this is hard to find. You know, there's nobody teaching this stuff. This is a real adept. I thought about putting this into a workshop, but you know, I don't think that it would sell very well. So, because it takes a lot of mental power, we're just going through the reading of it. Now, the practicing of it is in some ways simpler. And there are exercises we can do. But, you know, I don't consider myself an adept, and so I don't consider myself, you know, qualified to be a teacher of initiation. So I wouldn't do this. But anyway, so training of mind. This is the bottom of page 4. Don asks again, all right, well, now I got that overview of what the healer's training involves. Training mind, then body, then spirit. I got a little sense of what kind of work is involved in those three portions. Let's jump in. So please train us in the first step to become effective healers. Ra says, okay. We shall begin with the first teaching, the training of mind, necessary for contact with intelligent infinity. The prerequisite of mental work is the ability to retain silence of self at a steady state when required by the self. The mind must be opened like a door. The key is silence. The mind has a hierarchical construction, similar to geography or geometry, and the hierarchy of mind is quite regular, with various inner relationships. Master the concept of mental silence. It's first necessary to examine the self. The polarity of third dimension must be internalized. Where you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding impatience, and vice versa. Each thought you have has in its turn an antithesis, which is a polarized opposite. Number one, the disciplines of mind involve, firstly, identifying those things of which you approve and those things of which you disapprove within yourself. After this, you need to balance each and every positive and negative charge with its equal, with its opposite. Since the mind contains all things, you must discover this completeness within yourself. I've added the underlines and the italicizing here. The second mental discipline is the acceptance of the completeness of your consciousness. It is not appropriate for souls on the positive path in 3D to pick and choose among attributes, since this creates blockages, social roles, and confusion in the mind, which is already distorted in many ways. Each acceptance smooths a part of the many distortions that self-judgment creates. The third discipline of mind repeats the first, but looking outward towards others. There is completeness in the mind of all souls. Ra doesn't use the term souls. I apologize. It's in the mind of all others, of all beings. So it is important to understand each balance in each person you meet. When you view patience, the practice is to mirror patience. When you view impatience, it is necessary to understand impatience. We use this as just a simple example, but of course, most conditions of mind have many facets. Understanding the polarities of your own mind and the mind of others is a very subtle work. 4. The next step is the acceptance of the other person's mental polarities, which mirrors the second step, which is accepting your own. These are the first four steps of learning the mental disciplines. That involves observing the geographical and geometrical relationships and ratios of your own mind, the mind of others, the human mass mind, and the infinite or divine mind. In brackets, yes, this is the most advanced work of the adept, at least in terms of the training. So, there you go. That's the first part. That's the most difficult part. That's the heaviest and longest part of the healer's training, which is the training of mind. And I will unpack it. And let's see how well we do. So, first point, the training of mind is the preparation or the goal of this training of mind, which is to become a healer, is the contact with intelligent infinity. So let's remember about, let's keep that in mind, which is steady conscious contact with intelligent infinity. No mean feat. The prerequisite of mental work, the training of mind, which is mental work, the prerequisite is the ability to retain silence of self at a steady state when required by the self. Now, this means you can sit down and have a silent mind, period. Now, that is normal. That is what is developed by concentration meditation, like breath mindfulness. That's normal. That's what it's done. And, you know, what's the purpose of taking a vacation to Honolulu, you know, or Polynesia, if your mind is running and running? And so it's a very famous Buddhist understanding that, well, he may be sitting there, but his mind is running. So sitting in meditation is not for the purpose of silencing, stilling the body, but stilling the body is for the purpose of stilling the mind. And stilling the mind, or learning how to be in silence at mind, which is the only true fulfillment or vacation, the only true pleasure, actually, is itself a prerequisite for doing mental work. And that mental work here is not so different in a sense than what deeper Buddhist insight meditation involves, which is to really examine all the states of mind, all of the skandhas, all of those heaps, examining the nature of body, examining the nature of sensation, perception, thoughts, consciousness itself, and seeing that it's impermanent, it's insubstantial, it's empty. So, this is a rarity among spiritual people, among New Age teachers, among channels, you know, and among healers. How many you can't hear? Yeah, there you go. There's the silence of mind. You can't hear me. And so, this is, you know, the work of know thyself. So first point is that mind has a hierarchical construction, geometry, that hierarchy is regular, with various related to the seven tarot cards. The 21 major arcana of the tarot are considered the seven archetypes established by the Logos, the creator of the solar system, related to body, mind, and spirit. The mind as hierarchy, meaning levels of mind and particular interrelationships, is somewhat explained by Ra in the fourth volume, talking about the archetypes. And in a simple way, you can think that, you know, the surface of mind, think of it as a three-dimensional kind of, like looking at meaning the training of mind, to understand what the mind is. First, we examine the self in the way of internalizing polarity experienced in 3D mind. Polarity of third dimension must be internalized. This means that our experience of polarity, what we like and what we don't like, what seems to be black and what seems to be white, has to be internalized and then ultimately accepted and understood. That's the piece of work. So finding patience within your